Hello and welcome to another episode of Me, Myself and 40K with me, your host, or Inquisitor Archer, known on the internet. So, episode 21 this week. Oh, got some stuff for you. As you can see in the title, it's the top 5 characters. Now, when I say top 5, I mean my top 5 characters. So, we're up with somebody going, well, actually, they're not the top 5 characters. Well, actually, my top 5 characters. So, on your jog. That's the subject for this week. We also have an update for the battle report. So, unfortunately, if you're looking forward to the battle report this week, unfortunately, we are postponing it to next episode. So, I do apologize, but I will talk to you more about that then. We've got the update for the last 2 weeks. So, it's a lot more orcs and a lot more battle templars, but also a few other things thrown in that Warhammer have decided to share with us. And also, we've got quizzes. So, obviously, we'll test Amber on her 40k knowledge. All that in one podcast. Fantastic, isn't it? So, what we're waiting for, let's get to it. Right. Where do we start with the updates? Well, I guess we'll start at the beginning, shall we? Warhammer have given us a few awesome updates since the Orc Codex released last week or week before, I believe. And also, they've given us more insight to all the Black Templar stuff that they're going to bring out for us. I'm just literally got my notes here and I'm just going to walk through it, as it were. Since the drop of the Codex, the Orc Codex, I haven't actually got one yet. I would like to get a copy just so I've got it. So if I do want to play my Orcs again, I've got an updated codex, but I haven't seen it all. All I've seen is people who have put information out on the actual like YouTube and stuff like that. So again, a shout out to Mr. Allspets Tactics. He's done quite a long YouTube video about it, so go and check him out as well. Most of his information is very up to date. So Orc reinforcements. So we didn't get all the Orc detachments that we wanted at this point, so they're going to slowly bring them out, keep us waiting as usual, GW. The next ones that they've said they're going to bring out is the kill rig sort of thing. So it's kill rig slash the other rig, which I can't remember the name for. And that's the one with the Were Boy in it. So the new Psyker, which I think is a bit weird still. I don't like the look of these rigs. They look too busy and too much. They're a different type of vehicle. Obviously, one's like a psychic shooting cannon thing. The other one is a transport. Yeah, I mean, I could easily see an Orc player just getting a kill rig, using the transport one, and then just saying it's a truck. Because, I mean, trucks nowadays, with the new Truck Boy special rule, whatever it is, special mob thing that they get in the Orc, they're really good now. Yeah. The second one I want to talk about is the Pain Boss, which I do like the look of with his mechanical legs. And he's got like a squig, like he's got a squig on like a like drip hanger thing. So it's kind of funny. And his little grot orderly on a wheel, on a mono wheel. I was going to ask for one of these or get one of these myself. But now I've learned, I believe that they are only for beast snaggers, which is a shame, a real shame. So I'm probably not going to get one now because of that whole reason. Is the fact is that only beast snaggers can use them, which is a bit of a pain in the ass. Yeah, because the model looks great. I really like the model. With all his cybernetics and stuff like that, and his, like I said, his mechanical legs. But oh well. And then the last one will be the big Squigasaur one. So it's either Mozrog Scarbrand or it's the Beast Boss on Squigasaur. So that kit is like a dual kit. So you can make one or the other. So hopefully for Snakebite clans out there, you'll be getting your character soon. However, again, from Allspets Tactics, that gentleman said, put out another post as well, YouTube video, where Beast Boss and Squigasaur is one gnarly, and he just does so many wounds, and you can just take down anything, really. So that's going to be pretty good, because I think that'll sell out very, very quickly. Right, so that's Orc stuff done. Now we'll quickly go over, not quickly, but we'll go over now the Black Templar update. So we all know now, because obviously this is maybe a week or so out of date, but you know, I'll just tell you what I've seen. They've now getting an army box set. So they're going to get this new box set, which I'm presuming is not going to be a combat patrol. It's going to be like just like a special one. And then they're going to sell out all that and then they'll bring out a combat patrol, which might be a little bit different. I don't know. But in this army set, as it were, to re-release the Black Templars or the new Black Templars of Primaris, you get the new sort of Empress Champion. You get a Marshal in it, so basically I think a Marshal is equivalent to a Captain or a Lieutenant, if I believe. And then also you get a Redemptor Dreadnought, so that's not new, but then you get the whole squad of troops, as it were. So they have like a weird squad where it's like it's Battle Brothers, there's a Sergeant, I think it's called like a Brother Sergeant or something like that, and then you get like the Neophytes, so now they've brought out Primaris Neophytes, which are in scout armor, which look pretty cool because look like big gnarly scouts. I think they look really cool, apart from the haircuts, because they've all got like ball cuts, as it were. Yeah, it looks cool. I like Black Templars. I love Black Templars as a chapter. I think they're great, you know, killing all the psychers and making sure that Chaos are stomped on a regular basis. So yeah, and also the other model which has come out, or they've kind of previewed, as it were, is obviously the Black Templars sort of chapter master, or what they call is a High Marshal. And it's High Marshal Helbrecht, I think his name is. Can't pronounce it, do apologize, just that click and all that. So I've seen the model, and obviously again, it's killing an orc, which is like, ooh, just rub salt on the wound there. However, it does look quite an awesome model, I do think. The armor looks good, and he's got these little two little servitor helpers, one that's like trying to clean his sword, which I don't know to see how or reason why to clean the sword when he still has like the end of it in this sword, in this orc body. Bit, you know, counterproductive, but whatever. And then the other one behind him is like carrying his combi melter, sort of assault bolter. So it's kind of, that's quite cool, actually. That's the Black Templars. You know, the things I really want to talk about is the update for the Kill Team. So as we know, Kill Team's out. I've actually finally played my first game of Kill Team with Chris. So I used Deathwatch and he used his Night Lord. So he had Space Marines and Cultists. And yeah, I mean, I lost, but it was actually quite good. I think after the second sort of phase or round, as they call it, it was kind of clicking in place. So I would say to anybody who hasn't played Kill Team yet, get the books, read the books. But then if you can with somebody else, or even do it by yourself if you want to, is just run through a basic scenario, because things start to click. And obviously it's certain things like what weapons do, because obviously they've got different names for things. Like, for instance, I had a Death Watch fighter who had dual lightning claws. And obviously in lightning claws, in 40k, you know that they reroll wounds and they get like -1 plus to strength or anything like that. But in this, they've got, I think, they're different keywords. It was like rending and relentless or something like that. And those were basically, I think relentless was like the reroll to wounds. And I think rending was like, it's like, I don't know, it was something else. It was like, I can't remember what it was. Or you can't parry or something like that. I can't remember. But yeah, it's a really good, the system, the new Kill Team system is really good. Highly recommend it. So there you go, Warhammer or Games Workshop, getting my praise once. So Kill Team, the only thing I want to talk about Kill Team wise is the new Sister Novitiates. So yeah, we're getting a team of Sister Novitiates, which I quite like them, but they're kind of weird looking because obviously they're not in full plate, so not full Sister Battle Plate. So they're kind of like, I'm like, eh, they look weird. And I don't like any of the heads because they've got like the nun sort of, as you call it, like a cowl. And then they've got like the sister symbol on the headdress. I think it just looks a bit silly. I mean, I'd rather swap out the heads for like nothing at all. Or I don't know if you could swap them for helmets because I think that would be too much. But just swap them for like plain heads, really. That's what I would do. Some of them look really good. So it almost looks like these novitiates are like sisters in training, which obviously they are. But for instance, like you get like a training Hospitalia. So it looks like obviously they're like a medic, and obviously they're probably giving another name for it, but it looks like that's like a sister Hospitalia in training. Same as the other one with the dual whips, which I think is called like an Exocutor or an Exactor. I think Exactor. But yeah, she looks like a training, a sister superior, repenter superior as it were. So that's kind of fun. And I suppose I have to also say that, you know, there's a new Tau Kill Team coming in as well. But we don't really, we're going to talk about that because, you know, who cares about Tau? No, but yeah, there's a new Tau sort of Pathfinder, as it were. It looked pretty good. I like the medic in it because he's got like all his like little gadgets and things and stuff. Yeah, that's it really. And the only other thing I want to say, which I did not know until I looked up these things, is that there is actually a first issue of the Sister Battle comic. So there's a Sister Battle comic coming out, which I did know about, but I didn't realize it was going to come out soon. So yeah, so the first one should be coming out, I think, in the next few weeks or so, or I don't know, whenever it said it was. But yeah, go and check them out on the community, so Warhammer community. And we'll go to the next part, which will be the battle report, air quotes, and then the next part. Right, everyone, I know you understand that you are looking for a battle report, our first battle report this episode, and as I've previously said in the intro or the update, there's no battle report this week. Unfortunately, I do apologize, but it will come around. It'll be in the next episode, I promise you. However, just to explain a little bit, yeah, it'll be a battle report with obviously my partner, Amber. Amber is amazing. She does lots of things anyway. She works really hard, full-time job. She does other things as well. She's got her own stuff, hobbies and stuff, her own self. So she's just been really, really busy for the last 2 weeks. And we just haven't had time to do a battle report. However, we will do it. I promise you, it will come. Instead, what I was thinking of doing, because obviously you know from the last episode, or if you don't know yet, go back to the last episode and you'll find out that it is a kill team battle report we're going to do. That's kill team, the old edition, not the new one yet, because obviously I don't have all the books for that yet, because obviously they're expensives and they cost monies, which I don't have. So we're going to use the old kill team edition, because obviously what me and Amber know. And we're going to have a face-off with 125 points, so that'll be an elite sort of list. And it was going to be against Deathwatch and Orcs, and it still is. The list has already been made. I will recap it in this. But last time we did, I did a short backstory for the Deathwatch. So instead, for your entertainment, I wrote a backstory for the Orc side of the kill team. Teams, as it were, so you can just obviously sit back and listen to my backstory. It might be a bit funny because obviously it's orcs and stuff like that. And then obviously, like I said, I'll recap the scenario, who's involved, the two kill teams, and obviously that's it really. So like I said, sit back, relax, and I will do my best to do a backstory and silly voices for the orc kill team, as it were, or Orc Taz's lucky blue gits. So this is Strike to the Heart. Ugtaz was well happy. Since his warboss had landed his war on a strange jungle planet, he had several good scraps. As soon as he and his lads had landed, they had dropped right on top of an Umi camp and got stuck right in. After that, when they'd killed everything in the camp, they thought there might be more Umi camps out there, so they decided to go out in the weird jungle. But as Ugtaz and his lads started slogging it through the jungle, they were attacked by big beasties, and even more of a surprise, plants started attacking too. It was dead weird that the plants could fight as well, but Ugtaz didn't give much of a thought and just hacked everything that moved to pieces with his big chopper. Since then, he and his mob had set up a camp further in the jungle, hoping he and his lads could get some more good fights in, either with more of the jungle beasts, plants, or hopefully find that other Umi camp to take over for themselves. While Ugtaz cooked a hunk of meat, one of the beasties he had killed earlier on a roaring fire, which Smozog had helped him make, he looked at his mob and each of his lads in turn to think they all followed him now because he had made a reputation for himself. Smozog, Flame Spitter. He had been one of them burner boys before joining Ugtaz's mob. As his name suggested, he was completely obsessed with fire and burning things with his combi scorcher. He had been handy in the jungle, as he just burnt everything that moved, very handy with all them weird fighty plants. Dakadak, he was the newest lad in Ugtaz's mob. He was one of them pirate freebooter flash gits. Not the most trustworthy, but they did love showing off with their big snaz guns, and Dakadak was no different. Dakadak had heard of the reputation of Ugtaz and his lucky blue gits had in the clan, and he wanted to join him. After he had shown off to Ugtaz his Daka, Ugtaz allowed him to tag along with no funny business. Krogskull Tinhead. Krogskull had been with Ugtaz's mob for as long as he could remember. They were best mates. Both of them had been boys together in masses of mobs in their clan. Unfortunately for Krog, he had picked up a few more injuries than Ugtaz, and he was more machine than orc now. However, despite all his missing limbs and having only half an head, hence the name, he was dead hard and still remained part of the mob. Arlok Wildacre. Arlok was a young knob and had only recently decided to join Ugtaz's lads after gaining noble status in the clan. He was rash, quick to anger, but Ugtaz liked that about Arlok. He was always up for a scrap, looting and drinking large amounts of fungus beer. Then there was Ugtag himself. His full title was Ugtaz the Maniac. It was because he gained a reputation in this Death Squall's clan for being a little manic. Like that one time he'd got that weird boy to teleport him right on top of that big bug monster and only ride it around like a giant squig before managing to hack its head off. Or the other time he'd been fighting them beaky marine boys and he had climbed up the outside of the bunker, only to get to the top and start kicking them all off to his mob below. But then again, Ughtas would do anything for a good fight. There was no harm in making it interesting, he thought. Ughtas was looking around, thinking he was missing one of the lads, when an ant slapped him on the back. He immediately dropped his hunk of meat he was chomping on, and swung his big chopper in a backwards arc at whatever it was behind him. His chopper didn't hit anything. Then he heard a chuckle to his right, and that's when the last member of his mob sneaked out of the shadows. Skarak Neck Snapper. Skarak was a sneaky commando knob. He was as sneaky as they get, but Ughtas liked him having him around, as he was good mates with Skarak and knew he would watch his back for other orcs trying to shank him in the back.
Hey, boss, Skarak grunted. I scouted out the area as you ordered.
Ughtas forgotten he had ordered Skarak to do that, but just went along with it.
Yeah? And anything good? Yeah, real good. There's a group of Dembiki Marines coming our way.
Skarak smiled, showing all his teeth.
Yeah, Beakies? There's dead good to fight.
Ughtas getting excited as the prospect of a fight. Ughtas bellowed out to his mob.
Oi, lads! We got a scrap coming our way. Grab your gear. We got Beakies to stomp. Wah!
Ughtas grabbed his big chopper from the floor and started running off in the jungle with his lads right behind him. Ughtas was well happy. He was about to have another good scrap. So, the bat rep brief. So the mission is strike to the heart. It's a match play mission from the Kill Team Annual 2019. The mission objective, at the start of the game, each player scores one victory point for each enemy out of action to a maximum of 5. One victory point for holding their home objective, and 3 victory points for holding the enemy's objective. The two kill teams involved is Kill Team Deathwatch and a kill team of orcs. The Deathwatch kill team is Kill Team Clade. Leader is an Intercessor Sergeant with a bolt rifle, bolt pistol and a power sword. A combat operative, Black Shield with a power maul and storm shield. A veteran operative, a Terminator with a storm bolter and power fist. A Zealot, a Vanguard veteran with a jump pack, a power axe and a storm shield. And a Watch Sergeant with a Deathwatch bolt gun and a Xenophase blade. The Orc kill team is Ughtas's Lucky Blue Gits. The leader is a boss knob with a big chopper and a slugger. There's a heavy specialist, a flash git with a snaz gun, a chopper and a git finder squig. A combat specialist, a knob commando with a power claw and a slugger. A demolition expert, it's a knob with a combi weapon with a scorcher and a chopper. And then another knob with a kill saw and a chopper and cyborg body. And another knob with a chopper and a slugger. So as I said again, we will have the kill team battle report for next episode. And obviously I'll give a lowdown with that, either with Amber or she might obviously just want to let me do it by myself and tell you the sort of step-by-step, round-by-round way. But hopefully maybe I can persuade her to come and obviously talk to you about as well about it. Either way, it's on to the advert. Hello everyone, and obviously we're back this week with Chatting Along or Chat Along, and again we have a wonderful guest with us, and it's Mr. Chris again. So welcome, Chris.
Apologies to everyone, it's me again.
Oh, well, how are you actually, Chris?
Yeah, not bad. Nice and busy. Yep. Nice to distract myself with a little bit of the war hams. You know you're having a bad week when you cheer yourself up with a 40k setting.
Yeah, grim dark and all that crap. Yeah. So this week, we're not talking about tournaments, we're talking about my top favourite characters, and we're going to discuss them and see, you know, which ones who's the better characters than one another. Right, so we've both got 5 each, and we're going to sort of go back and forth and it kind of discuss them, as it were, are we?
Basically, you're going to start with no number 5, I'm going to disagree, tell you how you're wrong, and then I'll go on to my number 5 and tell you how I'm right, and then we'll take it from there.
All right,
To be honest, we haven't talked about this list beforehand, so I don't know what's on your list. I wonder how much overlap. No. Might be like a Venn diagram thing going on.
I know, yeah. I was going to think the same thing, actually, as well.
We should have done more homework.
Damn it. Homework's for nerds.
Yeah, let's do it.
We're not nerds, are we?
Time to go Conker's Deep.
Conker's Deep, right. So my number 5, I don't know if you might know him or not.
Oh.
He is from Kill Team Talon. You know who they are.
Kill Team Talon.
Yes.
Now, is this the Steve Parker book or?
It might be, yes. It's
the book called Death Watch, was it?
Yes. Yeah, it was. Yeah. So it follows
It follows the...
There's a guy from the Death Spectres, isn't there?
He's a librarian in Cadicia. I think his name is Lysandros, not Lyhandros or something like that.
Yeah.
And he's for Death Spectres. And he leads this team. But the fella that I'm in particular was... Cryron. He's the Dreadnought.
Oh, yeah. He's on the like extraction point, just drowning in bodies.
Yeah. So Cryron is a Elementor Dreadnought, and he hates Tyranids. And he thinks he's the only Lamentor left in his chapter. So he thinks that he's Death Watch is basically his death. Basically, he's going to just carry on in Death Watch until he dies. Basically,
yeah.
He's very morbid, but I just find him so hilarious. How he just like even at one point in the story, he even. Because they need to extract this alien from this Eldar, like sarcophagus or something. And it's like Tyranid based. And the team's told by Sigma, the Inquisitor, to take it alive. And he says to the Inquisitor, fuck off, I'm going to kill it. And he kills it.
This guy. See, the thing I like about that is it highlights as well when you get a good 40k author, they give character to all the different guys, because that book felt like an action movie. I actually wrote a little park on his website saying I absolutely love your book, hope we get some more of that. I just read like Rebel Winter, which was one of his opening books. It was like a guard one, and that Death Spectres make a cameo and stuff like that. I think it's Rebel
Winter. Really?
Yeah. And I love the fact that is, because I've read other books that all the characters in it just flat, boring, normally when they're Iron Hands, because screw those guys. But that particular book, every single one of those dudes in the kill team, it's like an action movie. You've got all the archetypes, but the Dreadnought is just this larger than life kind of proper salty old man who's just like, join the war.
Yeah. Yeah, he hates Tyranid. He hates the Inquisition, and he just wants to die, but he wants to die by killing as much shit as he can, basically.
Oh, brill. So you've got Death Watch Army, have you thought about making one for yours?
Yes, I actually have, actually. I do want to get another Dreadnought, but I want to get an Iron Clan one instead. And I know he's just a venerable Dreadnought, so I'd have to totally switch out stuff. But I'd actually like it if you could have him or the whole team. You know, like you can have Kill Team Cassius as like a whole team in the Death Watch, as it were. Yeah. I think it should be like you could do the same thing and have Kill Team Talon as like a like named characters.
Ooh, and each of them has special rules.
Yeah, basically, yeah. Cryron would be pretty cool. So it'd be a named Dreadnought for the Death Watch then. So pretty cool.
Yeah, because I suppose they are shy on special characters. They've just got Gav Thorpe's character from Inquisitor, which was Watch Captain Artemis, was it?
Yeah, they have three named in the Ninth Codex now. Yeah, they have Captain Artemis.
Yeah.
They have Chaplain Cassidy.
Cassius is in the actual kill team, isn't he?
yeah. And also the librarian or the Codicia, Notarian in the kill team Cassius as well. He's a Blood Raven.
Oh, so those two are named characters you can take.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It's nice, but I think they just need a little bit more considering the type of army they are. Like a named Dreadnought, that'd be baller.
Yeah, exactly. Because obviously, like the Space Wars have two named Dreadnoughts? They have Murderfang and Boy, what's his name?
Oh, Beyond the Fell-Handed.
Fell-Handed, yeah.
Yeah. Again, like Murderfang, I always thought was a bit weird because it's like, it's Murderfang. It's like, well, he's got no real name. It's just Murderfang or whatever his name is. And so I was like, is that his last name? Is that his first name? What's going on?
I don't know, but isn't he one of those wolf people though? Isn't he one of those wolfen or?
Yeah, so slap one of them in a dreadnought. What's the worst could happen?
Yeah, exactly.
Blend your hands.
Yeah, so that's my number five, and I thought he should be a named character, so he should be elite choice, and he should be basically just be a normal stats of a normal venerable dreadnought. So I would say it'll be a normal sort of dreadnought, but he would have some special rules. And I thought, because I looked up sort of Tyranid stuff, and I realized that the Ultramarines have the Tyranid, the Tyrannic war veterans.
Yeah.
And they have a special rule. Bane of the Tyranids.
Mm.
It's attacks against Tyranids, reroll hit and wound rolls. So, yeah.
So just getting that, just playing old hatred Tyranids.
Basically. And also I actually made one up, but I don't know if I was going to change it or not. I don't know how you think about it, but I thought I put it as the last Lamenter. Yeah. And I put it as the first time Karen's taken out of taken to normal, zero wounds, roll a d6. I'm a 2 up, basically, you know, if you roll 1, but he retains d3 lost wounds. I can make an immediate melee or range attack against the unit that made Karen's taken to zero wounds.
Ooh. So is that something you think he'd be able to do every time or just the first time it happens?
Oh, no, it'd only be like a one-time thing.
That once per game.
Because I think that's a bit too powerful on a 2+ every time he uses one wound.
But fun for scenario is just have him surrounded by a whole Tyranid army that's all melee, just drown him in bodies and see how far you get.
Basically, yeah. That's what I thought. Give him if you just get taken to zero wounds, give him something to carry on. So, yeah, I thought that'd be pretty cool. And also the fact is that Venerable Generals, they have a 6-up shrug, don't they? So they have unyielding engagement, they have 5-up.
Yeah, they've sort of tweaked them now to make them a little bit more resilient, which I like.
Yeah, they've got unyielding engagement, which is a 6-up feel no pain. And also every Dreadnought now has Duty Eternal, which they subtract 1 damage to a minimum of 1 from everything. So I do like that. That's been very helpful sometimes.
With the prevalence of damage to weapons floating around, that is invaluable.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So yeah, that's what I think. My number 5 is Chiron, big Dreadnought.
Big old chonky boy.
Big old chonky boy.
My number 5's a big old chonky boy, but in a different way. If a Death World had a calendar, he'd probably be Mr. July. It's Sergeant Harker. You know the guy with the big, the heavy bolter? He's just stood up with his, like...
Oh, right, yeah.
Fucking angry head.
Oh, he's a Katachan. Yeah, he's a Katachan. Yeah. He's pretty cool. I do like him, yeah.
I always loved this sculpt. Never did a Katachan army. I had Katachan back in the day, but I never did, when they finally got their own, proper rules and stuff, never got around to doing. But I just like the idea of him, even though it's just like a sergeant for your squad that runs around the heavy bolter. It's nothing particularly, it's not going to be a game breaker. But I just remember there's a quote which is something like, I always wanted a pair of Katachan devil boots, killed thousands of them in my time, but never found one wearing any boots. And it's dumb as soup. This proper, hard as nails, dumb as soup guardsman who just can't die.
Yeah, basically, yeah. God, I forgot about the Katachans. I do like Katachans.
Oh, no, you can't change your list now. Jump on my ship.
No, but I was at one point, I was actually going to do a Katachan kill team with 2 Ogryns.
Oh, yes. That'd be cool. Just muscles for days.
Basically, yeah. I do like Katachans.
Yeah. So, yeah, Harker, yeah, I think, like I said, he's got his own special rules. He's a bit of fun. I think at some point I'm probably going to do, because I keep talking about it, I'm going to do a 500-point force or something, just to have a bunch of dudes.
Oh, yeah.
Priest. I've got that Ripper Jackson model that's fantastic, that female guardsman or whatever.
Oh, that's cool.
So I want to do something, but I really wanted that colonel they released as well, who basically looked like Sergeant Apone from Aliens.
Oh, the one with the fist and the power. Yeah. He's got binoculars, hasn't he?
Yeah. I think that every single sculpt they've done since that initial kit has been gorgeous for the Katachan.
Yeah, yeah.
But knowing you'd have to bulk out your army with that old, real old-ass kit would probably take the edge off it. So when they get a revamp, I think Harker's going to be bought.
Different. You could use different stuff, couldn't you? I mean, you could use... You could use orc models from Age of Sigmar, couldn't you?
Or
you
could use... Proper meteor. Hi. Yeah. And you have to kill your things with las guns.
Yeah. Well, no, the ones, they wear loincloths and stuff, and they're kind of like...
Savage orcs.
Savage ones. Yeah, savage orcs. Yeah, you could use savage orcs, couldn't you?
I mean, Jesus, they have 8 packs and shit. Those guys are small. There's one of their units is 2 orcs holding a stick that they use to kill monsters.
Yeah, isn't it called like a big stabber or something like that?
I think you might be on the point there. I didn't intend that pun, but there we are. But yeah, so far, my 5, your 5, mine's a little dude with a gun, yours is a big dude with a big gun.
But then Sergeant Hark, I mean, I do like all the main characters, the Katachans, like Marbo and Colonel, what's his name, Colonel? The guy's he's like half a cyborg, isn't he?
Ironhand Strachan, yeah.
Yes, yeah. He's a beefcake, isn't he? I mean, he shoots a shotgun with one hand, so yeah, I think he's a bit of a, yeah.
Like it's a pistol. He's doing that whole Arnie and Eraser thing where he's just running along with this giant Barrett 50 thing.
But then have you seen the shotgun? It looks like an old pump action like we have like modern day now. So how old the thing must be for him? You know, it must be 100 years old for him.
Hey, if the design ain't broke, you know?
don't fix it.
I mean, if they're still using it in Aliens as well, that's fine.
That's true, actually. Yeah, why do you use pump action? You use automatic shotguns, for sake.
you can do the whole sawn-off thing and tuck in your back and pull out like a badass.
Oh, yeah, I suppose that's true. Well, yeah.
I think they only got one shot out of it in the fucking movie, but everyone remembers it.
Everyone remembers it.
Yeah, okay. I think the problem is they stuffed it in something's face and it bled acid all over it, so I don't think they shot it again.
Anyway.
Yes. Right, so I think we're at number four.
Number four. I have actually a big dude on this one. I don't remember saying his name right, but I'm sure you'll get it.
Oh, God.
He is a bit of a bad boy, and it's Conrad Kurz.
Now, I feel a bit ashamed here, because as a Night Lord player, I didn't put him on my list.
Do you know what? I thought you were going to do as well. I thought, oh.
Yeah, but I mean, these sorts of lists, you're always going to sort of not miss people out, but yeah, he's a fun character, isn't he? So why have you picked him?
I picked him because I did some back reading on him after I did some Primarchs and my other episodes. And I've done Mortarian. I think I've done another Primarch. I can't remember who I did. But reading the backstory for Conrad, I mean, he's basically an evil Batman, isn't he? he the whole, like, and the way he grew up in, is it Nocturne?
Yeah, called?
Yeah, and like it's constantly darkness. It's like it's prime, like, you know, a thing for, like, you know, I'm Night Haunter sort of thing. So. But I just, it's the fact is that he went to the dark side, but
yeah,
because that he knew that he'd done wrong, and he knew, but he still carried on.
Yeah,
and the fact that I think it's just the concept of why he could see his, you know, basically could see his death, but he could see what's going to happen, death. He could see all this stuff, and he just kind of went, "Well, I guess I'm going to have to do it anyway," sort of thing. So
it's that fun thing, because, like, he ends up virus bombing, well, not virus bombing. He glasses Nostromo, doesn't he? Is his home world, and just like it, for me, the parallels between him and the angel Sanguinius are where it's interesting, because there's a lot of the Primarchs have almost like a mirror version of themselves. You've got Sanguinius sees his fate and goes towards it with this idea of acceptance and kind of a positive spin on it. He just knows that what he must do, and he tries to defy his fate as long as he can, but just knows it's coming and does everything for the best of humanity. Whereas Conrad sees his fate and goes, well, it must mean this, and just follows the most negative route to get there.
I know, yeah.
I love that parallel between the characters.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't know a lot about the Primarchs. I'm still learning. And I haven't read any of the Horus Heresies. I started listening to Horus's Rising a while back, but I'm only like about 2 hours in. So not very far. Not very far at all. But yeah, Conrad, I think he's a really cool character. I really do. I think he's an amazing character. And the fact is that he takes over this entire world. And like from that point, because obviously the world was completely ravaged by, like, you know, rape, pillage, murder and all that stuff. And then when he came along, everyone knew his name, Night Haunter. And if you did put one foot out of line, he would just sever it off. rip your spine from your asshole and make you eat it.
Now he's dead and he's been flayed.
Yeah, basically. And now I'm going to use your body, isn't your skin, as my cloak, sort of thing. I think he is such a cool character. He is such a cool character.
I like the idea of someone who, in that setting, kind of accepts a certain amount of their fate, and that kind of argument. It's that anything that calls into question the Emperor's sort of intentions or methods. Because it's that idea of, like, there's that quite great quote from him when the assassin comes forward to kill him, and he says, death is nothing in the face of vindication. Because he was making a point all the while that the Imperium was just basically a bunch of backstabbing murderers and scumbags, and it was all pointless. And, you know, it's just all going to fall in on itself, because it's all based on corruption and death.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden someone sends an assassin to kill him. And it's like, see, told you.
Yeah. And he just, like, kind of sat down. Yeah, well, can do it then.
Keep soaring through my neck.
But it's gonna keep regenerating. You have to keep going.
You're gonna have to go quicker than that, love. I do like the fact that somebody pointed out as well that the whole thing was a bit of a nod to Apocalypse Now, because Machen, the assassin that went to kill him, is Martin Sheen from Apocalypse Now. Machen.
Oh really? Yeah. So I didn't know that.
Yeah, okay. The 40K is absolutely chock full of references. I mean, you've got the Space Wolf characters. There's Eric something and Morecambe the Wise. and or Mordecai the Wise, and it's like it's a, you know, it's no Ernest the Wise, that's it. And it's basically it's yeah, it's Morecambe Wise essentially.
Really?
references like that. I'm trying to remember it on the fly, but there's so many references in 40K. When you look at them, you go, I can't believe they've done that. How did they? But like, as a kid, most of them just go straight over your head. Like, this is when that's silly.
Anyway, you're number four.
Number four. Mine is a little bit of an obscure character, but it's UR025.
Oh, it's the Iron Man. It's the
it
it's
is the it's the man the Iron man himself. Not to be mistaken for Perth Rabo.
He's a cool character from the Blackstone Fortress, isn't he?
Yeah. And I love the fact, the thing I love about this guy is it's that nod to something that came before even the Heresy. You've got the idea that why is artificial intelligence banned in the Imperium? Well, this guy's walking around proving why. I like how the fact that they're so far into this age of ignorance that all he has to do is slap an Aquila on his chassis. And even though every aspect of his design aesthetic, apart from the like minigun or assault cannon type thing he's got, proves that he is not of Imperium design. There's all these smooth lines and stuff. And then you also trace that back to, if you look at Castellan Robot, they've got the same design aesthetic. So, those guys have to be kind of shepherded round, and they have these little data wafers to keep them doing what they want them to do. And you get the sense that the Mechanicum know that these are probably old Men of Iron constructs that they use. So it's things that I love it when 40K gets this right, where they hint at something in their setting that if you're looking at it the right way or you've got an eye for it, you can see what's going on, but they don't necessarily just tell you straight up. And I think the Man of Iron for that, I love the fact that that's just a little nod there to tell you what's going on. And I was kind of hoping that we might see some sort of resurgence of the AI, or like, you know, Men of Iron coming back. It's an option for a new army.
Yeah,
you know, a humanity-based artificial intelligence that's just going to kind of get up and go Terminator on us.
Out of all the characters, he was one of my favorites. I actually played him. I used him as one of my main characters when I did the campaign with Amber.
Yeah,
and he brought it back all the time. He's slow as fuck, though, isn't he? Though
he always gets bogged down. But like, you get surrounded by like three beastmen at spawn point, and just spend four turns punching them to death, and then you'd be like, right, everyone else has fallen over. He's going to have to carry on and do the whole mission on his own.
Yep, basically.
But stalwart as fuck, he was great.
Yeah. And I did actually manage to get him inspired several times. I managed to like smash a drone, one of the drones in the face, like, because he has to melee a drone, doesn't he, to inspire.
I love the fact that it's clearly because he's communing, basically going to commune with another artificial intelligence to get a bit of information. And if you read the backstory, you kind of, oh, that makes sense. Whereas otherwise, it's just like, well, that's a weird way to inspire. But when you read the backstory, you're like, oh, okay. He's the AI at the core of the Blackstone Fortress being like, all right, mate, what are you doing?
He's plugging his USB in their port.
Tinder for robots.
Yep, basically. Oh, that's awesome. I do like you are one. He's pretty cool, yeah.
Yeah, he's fun. Yeah. So that's my number four.
All right, number three. Right, so getting to the sticky ones now. Last three. So I can't remember how to pronounce her name, but I'm going to try. It's Ephriel Stern.
Ah, Ephriel Stern. Yeah. What's her title?
The Demonifuge.
The old Kev Walker comic lady who finally got a model the other day.
Yes, Amber got me that model last birthday, which she's all ready and built, but she's at the back of my shame shelf. So she will get painted. She will get painted eventually, but not yet.
See, I got the model because I know I'm going to want to paint her, but it's still in the cling wrap. It's in the box waiting to be. My problem is if I buy them, unwrap them, build them, and don't get to paint them immediately, they won't get painted. So I have to leave them in the box for as long as possible. So I have at least the excitement of opening and building gets me on the road to doing the rest.
That's a quite good idea, actually.
Well, in theory, but sometimes.
Yeah. So we're not going to talk about her little friend, her little Harlequin friend. We're going to talk about her.
Yeah.
So she's a sister of Battle from the Martyred Lady, and she has quite a crazy past. She's been born three times, can't remember. Born more than once. She's basically been dead and risen again, basically.
Yeah.
And she basically had to go against a Slaanesh Greater Demon. And the Greater Demon had basically killed an entire like inhabitants of a Sister of Battle shrine.
Yeah.
And
made its way through the whole convent, like.
Yeah, and constructed using their bones and skin, this like this big like artifact thing. The sisters, out of their faith, transferred their energy to this stone, and now she's kind of like a sister psyker. And so, even though she is a outcast of the Imperium, she still fights for the Imperium, which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah, I think she's a fun character because she highlights every once in a while GW do something a little bit out there. They did a lot of this back in the late 90s, early noughties, where they were like, yep, that sounds fun, let's do it. And I think people forget how wide the galaxy can be to let us have these things. Because sometimes people go to a table with their like, little backstory for their character, and people are like, well, that doesn't happen in the Codex. It's like, well, it's a bigger galaxy than your Codex, mate. And then you like, every once in a while, you'll get like, you know, a story will throw some light in something, and people go, oh, this is amazing. I want to do that. And you've got somebody who's been doing that for years with a backstory of their character going, like, well, I was doing that before, and everyone said it was wrong. I love these sort of really out there, like, it's a sister of battle, but she's a psychic fucking mentalist, you know.
Basically, yeah, and she's going around with a Xenos as well. She's going around with a Harlequin,
Yeah, just so you can write some naughty fan fiction after you've finished playing your games.
exactly. Basically, yeah, I think she's great. But the thing is, though, because Amber got me the book as well. I don't know if you've got the book as well, the comic, the
Yeah,
novel.
had that from back in the day. So unfortunately, mine's not in colour, which is a shame. It's
Oh, I'm sorry, but
all
I
right. I'll
mean,
get to it, mate. Be fine.
But I mean, I love that story. So, because I like how she goes from being like, seen as a sinner, basically killing like a superior with a who's possessed demon. But I like how she goes to like the Dark Elder world as well. That like it fights in that she fights in the pits there, which is I think is pretty fucking cool.
Yeah,
And then
it's
she,
a proper
yeah.
mental arc she follows.
And then she goes and looks for other things, and then she goes back to the world, and and she obviously then she makes friends with an Inquisitor. And stuff like that. So I think it's pretty. He's a cool character.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And the sculpt's fantastic as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely awesome with these floating down. I kind of wish that I was better at doing that OSL stuff to make her kind of look kind of like she's like, whoa. But instead, she's just going to look like every single one of my plasma guns in my army. Is
I
that
don't know.
dry brushing of something light around the edges?
I don't know how. I don't know how she's gonna look when I finish painting her, because she's a. He's a different color to my sister battle army, because obviously I'm painting them as ebon chalices and stuff.
Well, would you just paint her up in your own colours, or would you paint her in a traditional colours?
No, because she's a named character. I kind of
Yeah.
stick named characters to kind of stick with what they normally are.
Because I know that, like, I've seen a lot of good versions of Gwilliman when people take the Primarch, and they'll, like, mate Jack's got a Raven Guard army, and he's
Oh
done
yeah.
like a Raven Guard version of Gwilliman, like he's showing up, and they've gone, here's some Raven Guard ceremonial armor. So I don't know how much he gets used now that the rules have shifted a little bit with groups and, detachments and stuff. But it was,
Yeah.
you definitely had a lot of fun with him.
Oh, fair enough, yeah. Number three.
My number three, have you read speaking of Night Lords? This is where. Night Lords wise, they're going to kill me when they find out who I voted for. Instead of the Primarch and instead of some of the other characters that appear in the Night Lords trilogy, I've gone for Octavia.
Octavia.
Now, are you familiar with the Night Lords trilogy at all? Sorry.
Nope.
Not at all. Now, the
Nope.
basic thing with like no spoiler point here, where one of the first things that happens in the trilogy is the. It follows the Night Lords. They're a war band. They're struggling to get enough ammo. Every time they lose something, like a rhino or, like a piece of armor, it's a loss to them. You feel it. It's like
Yeah.
they can't make this stuff anymore. They just have to prepare what they've got. So you can feel it, like almost every time something happens, it's like watching a skating video. You're like, ooh, that's not going to be good. And they need resources for everything, and they've got like a manky navigator, and they need another one at one point, and they end up basically kidnapping an Imperial navigator, and she's just a low-level navigator on some sort of spice hauler or something. I don't know. I should have probably paid more attention when reading it, but they get her, and she's still quite loyal to the Imperium when they get her, and when they explain who they are, she's like, well, I'm not working for you. And it's all about her journey as someone who is basically forced into a position where she has to work for renegades. Well, say renegades, actively traitors. They did actually participate in the Siege of Terror. That would probably mark them as traitors.
Just a
Probably. Just a little bit, yeah. So it's you follow her journey going through this, and like they kind of assign her the guy, main character in the book that everyone kind of goes, oh, he's amazing, Talos. You'll see loads of conversions. Look up Talos. But a lot of people focus on him, even though he's a bit of a douche. It's like the whole Rick Sanchez thing. Because he's a bit of an edgelord, everyone loves him, even though they don't think, well, actually, if I interact with this guy, he'd be a douche to me, so why do I like him?
Right. I think I've heard of him, though, but I don't know. I'll have to research this afterwards. So.
Yeah. Talos is worth a Google because people convert their own models for this guy all the time. Whereas Octavia, I think, is just, it highlights for me what I loved about that trilogy, because this guy, when he wants like someone to look after his armor and stuff, he basically takes someone he thinks is worthy and then trains them up. And his previous one to Octavia is Septimus. And you sort of notice there's a pattern there. So Septimus is 7, Octavia is 8. So they all just, whatever their name was before, they just get renamed with a number, essentially. Okay. And it's her relationship with the other guy who's kind of settled into his role as being basically serving these heretics. And her trying to argue with him about why they're doing the wrong thing and they shouldn't be serving these people. And he's like, well, this is the reality of the world we live in. And I think when you're playing 40K, you see like gibbering hordes of cultists being sent up the board to their death and things like that. And you think, who in their right mind would serve a chaos like warband? You know, who would think that's great? You know, what do you want? I'm going to drive a spike through my buttocks and brand my cheek with some sigil. And that's me, and I'll just run off and get killed by something in the name of a dark god. And yeah, you do get fanatics on that end, but I like the idea of these people in the middle that are just kind of stuck working for these people because they're born at the wrong place at the wrong time. And I think the plot of Octavia and Septimus over the three books is just a great exploration of how chaos can be interesting and not just, well, they're just gibbering monsters we fight.
I totally agree with that. Yeah, I totally agree that there has to be a medium where somebody gets dragged along sort of thing in the whole wake of things, isn't it?
Yeah, like circumstance would make people serve these monsters. But the thing that I think it highlights for me as well, because it wouldn't be a podcast without me whinging about the Chaos Codex, is that we as Chaos players don't have any way to simulate most of the stuff that's in the book. You know, it's like, what do you want? Chaos Marines? Do I want something a little bit different? Well, all we can do is Chaos Marines, I'm afraid. And guess what? They got one wound. But yeah, with this, it just claws out now. I'm being a salty bitch. But like, even if they did what they did with the Genestealer cult and said, here's a guard codex, fill your boots, you'd be able to just take like a Primaris Psyker and say, this is her, or a Navigator, whatever. You know, you could just go, there you are, I'm representing this character from the books. But right now, the closest we can get is if we take a bunch of cultists and make the leader of the cultists her. It still doesn't quite do it because it's like, well, you know, she's not really a run up and get punched kind of character. Yeah, so there, I got a whinge in, so I'm happy with my number 3.
All right, excellent. Well, okay, right. Here so moving on. So number 2, last 2 now.
Number 2 so, means, don't you?
Yeah, I know. Well, this guy isn't. If anything, he'll probably, if you said that to him, he'll probably grab your face and rip it off. This guy I've loved since I started playing, I said playing with him. since I got the model, and since obviously I got the rules for him, but it's no other than Mad Doc Grotsnik.
Good old Mad Doc.
Good old Mad Doc Grotsnik. So Mad Doc Grotsnik is a pain boy, and he's a little bit off his rocker. I say a little bit. That'll be another statement. He is absolutely bonkers nut. He is crazy. But the only thing is, the right thing I like this about how I got to like him is the fact is that he's the only named Death Skulls Orc character.
Oh, so, he's the one you get.
Yeah, he's the only one Death Skull named character. And so when I obviously was picking my orcs in third edition many years, moons ago, I thought, he's the only named character. I guess I'll use him then as well as one of my main dudes.
Nice.
And I did. And he's great. And even in ninth edition now, or eighth, I don't know what the ninth edition rules for him is yet, but he was still cool. He's still such a cool model, and I've still got the model of him because obviously I've got him in metal. But I mean, like, he's such a bonkers character. He's so
What does he do rules wise now? Can he balls up with his surgery, or is he just always just like a basically a pain boy?
Well, I don't know the ninth edition rules, but I think it's still the eighth sort of rules. Basically, yeah, you can still balls up his Doc's tools. Yeah, so on a 1, basically you suffer the person that you're trying to heal suffers a mortal wound instead. But to represent his madness, if there's no orcs within 3 inches of him, and he's within 12 inches of an enemy model, he has to charge.
Doesn't matter what it is, he's in.
Yeah, he has to. If he's not going to orcs around him and he's within 12 of an enemy, he has to charge.
Death Skulls are the ones that paint the faces blue and stuff, aren't they?
Yeah. So the Death Skulls are the ones that they've got they're a bit sort of skeptical about things, and they think blue is lucky, so they dab their whole bodies or tattoo themselves in blue.
Yeah.
And they put talismans, like totally, they tie like talismans of bones and stuff on them, and they're a bit superstitious. Mm.
The old Space Orc box set, you know, the original plastic box set from back in the day was actually the first kit I ever bought.
Really?
From that box was a bunch of angry looking orcs. I'll have to send you the artwork later, it's fantastic. And a bunch of them were holding these plasma cannons, because they had plasma cannons back in the day. And they just got these blue stripes down the faces with like little bits of white at the edges. And I just remember seeing it, thinking how cool they looked, and trying to emulate that as a kid, and just like big old sloppers, blue and white down their faces. I'd love to go back to those models and give them some love again.
That'd be pretty cool.
But I love that look. It's classic.
Yeah. Well, because obviously, when I was, as you know, my the way I look at things is in 40K is when I make an army, I always go for the underdog army. So, for instance, orcs. There's loads of goths. There's loads of bad moons. There's loads of evil suns. They're like the three main ones that people normally go for.
Yeah.
So I thought, I want something completely different. So I looked at, obviously, in third edition Codex, it gives you like a little, sort of ruled out of each one.
Yeah.
I thought, Death Spores, they look cool. Blue, obviously, blue was my favorite color. And also, I read that they were looters as well. So they used to loot and scavenge the battlefield. I was like, oh, that's so cool. So yeah, I kind of draw me towards Death Spores, as it were. So yeah.
Someone advice years ago that if they ever do 40k army, like an Imperium army, they should always have an Orc army at the same time, so that if any of their old projects with the Imperium just get scrapped, they can just Orcify it, hand it off to the Orcs. And like looted tanks I got from just basic.
That's hilarious. Oh yeah, well that's my number two.
Fantastic. Now I'm going to be a proper edgelord here and go for someone's a little bit niche.
Go for it.
And I'm probably saying his name wrong, but I think it's Barabbas Dantioch. And he's a guy who initially featured in the Heresy. You know, there's a collection of short stories, and there's just one basically about the Sons of Horus basically show up, I think it is. There's like an equerry shows up saying, right, Horus needs supplies for the war. And it's like, and this is right at the start of the Heresy. And the guy goes, okay, that's funny. Well, I'm getting reports from these people who've come to me warning me that apparently Horus has turned traitor. So what the fuck? And it's like, well, you've got to give us the supplies. And he's got this like facility that's like essentially built like upside down, sideways inside an asteroid. And it's the weirdest construct of a place. That's like the hardest thing to get to. It's like, imagine if an Iron Warrior had like a millennia to fortify something weird. It's that. and it's essentially a last bastion of loyal Iron Warriors holding out under siege. And it's something, there's some like silly quote in it, like, you know, oh, well, it was supposed to be done in 2 weeks. And then it was like 114 days later, and it's still, you know, and this guy is held out bitterly for the whole time because he just knew his siege craft. But what makes him cool is he's actually like, he's been assigned this crap duty of just holding over this fort because he's fighting the Hrud in one of their migrations.
And oh, shit.
Some of their weaponry is like temporal stuff. So essentially he's been hit with like a fractional temporal blast that hasn't just turned into dust, but has aged him thousands of years. So his whole body's like, he's racking with coughs. He's old, he's withered. He can barely hold his armor together. Like, and it's weird to see like an infirm space marine.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, and this short story follows him. And then he later on in the Heresy, he pops up here and there. And it's an absolutely fantastic little art that as you follow it through the Heresy, as you sort of, you know, I get to some of these later books, and I'm like, oh, it's him, it's that guy. And you get really excited. You haven't read a story with him in 4 years. There he is again. And I just love following a loyal Iron Warrior, because it is the idea of the Iron Warriors could have been if they just stood the course, because they are essentially so close to Imperial Fists in like their stubbornness and their tactics that you just think, you know, again, I was talking about mirrors before. Those two obviously mirror each other. They hate each other.
Yeah.
They hate each other's guts because they're so fucking similar. They both do the same job and each one's competing better. Yeah. But yeah.
Because Imperial Fists are the best siege, like defense sort of defenders, aren't they? And then obviously best sieges, aren't they, sort of thing. So
yeah, and it is, it's two sides of the same coin.
Yeah
you can't not know how to fortify a siege if you're looking to attack one, you know, like do perform one. So yeah, love him in 30K. He is one of my favourite characters. And oh, I can't go into detail without probably throwing out bang tons of spoilers, but genuinely one to follow.
Wow, he sounds cool. I'll have to look him up as well then.
I don't think he's got rules yet, though, but I haven't really been following the Heresy expansion books because it got quite expensive. But like rules-wise, I don't know how they'd represent him on the battlefield, but I just I want a model. Because I just don't care what his rules would do. I'll buy that just to paint it, and I'll stick him on the front of my car like a hood ornament, drive around like a pimp. You know, that's my Dantioch babies.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. And we go straight to number ones.
That's number Wang.
Yes. This is my top one character, and I probably think you might already know who it is.
Okay, well, I'm ready to disagree because I'm not disagreeing yet, so I'm feeling disagreement coming on to be that guy.
Your top favorite character of all time.
Yeah.
And I'm sure other people might, is no other than Inquisitor Gregor Eisenhorn.
No, garbage. Maybe not. Maybe he is actually quite good. Maybe I have read those books and loved them. So yeah. What makes you go that way?
It's because the whole concept behind, obviously, he's an Inquisitor. Obviously,
yeah,
but it's the fact that because obviously he's the way I see him, he's almost like a futuristic sort of James Bond, sort of as it were.
No, Mr. Eisenhorn, I expect you to die.
But it's the fact is that he has this. I just love the fact that he's always constantly being torn into two ways for the Imperium and then torn away. Mm. And obviously, he's got his demon,
his friend.
Friend, his demon host friend, and I don't know how to explain it all in one sort of sentence, but I just love the whole concept behind his whole character. That he's basically, he's an Order of Xenos, and he is seen as a heretical character, Inquisitor, even though he himself has said several times in the books, like, oh, I thought I was Puritan, or I thought I was, you know, this, and then somebody says, points out to him, I think it's another Inquisitor points out to him, says, no, you're definitely heretical.
Yeah. I think it's the fact that, when great authors tackle materials, they make you look at things in a different angle. Like, the reason I liked Octavia was it showed us the human element for Chaos Renegades and things like that. This is you get to see someone and agree with them almost the entire time that they're doing the right thing, and you see how an Inquisitor goes from being, you know, Puritan to being radical and then being hunted. And the fact that the Inquisition has this kind of idea that no, if you live long enough as an Inquisitor, you learn enough to automatically you end up as a radical. Very few people will maintain their Puritan status when they know more. That idea that it's the fate of all things and they have to constantly self-regulate, and that's why there's so much infighting in the Inquisition. Yep. It's just well, he knows too much, he was doing crazy shit, so let's kill him now.
Yeah, he's a renegade. He has to be,
So that horrible, inevitable nature of what they do and following someone, knowing that they're doing the right thing for the Imperium because you're there cheering them on. And then you see it from another perspective, which I think Dan Abnett does wonderfully when he jumps around with the different characters and book, is seeing things from other angles going, ooh, was he doing the right thing? You know, from his perspective, he always was.
Because I think I recently, on Audible, I listened to the latest one, which is Magnus, isn't it? Magnus?
Magos. Yeah, because that's the one perspective of the, like, is it Magos Biologus on the planet?
Yeah.
Space?
Yeah, and obviously Eisenhorn's really old then as well, because obviously the ones that I've listened to, obviously from like Xenos, Malleus, and Hereticus, when he's a little bit younger.
Yeah.
But this is when he's quite old, and you can tell that he's worn out, and you can tell that he's, you know, he's past his sell-by date, maybe a few hundred years.
It's all the injuries he's picked up along the way. Every single thing. It's like he's walking along with his, like, he's got a catheter, he's got robot legs, he's got, you know, a new head. It's just bonk.
Yeah, regrown a hand. But yeah, I think Eisenhorn is I think he's great. He's such a good character.
I think as well, so cool. He represents to 40K fiction, because before the books of Eisenhorn, we didn't really get much of an insight into the Inquisition and that flavour. And it really, I know they did the Inquisitor series by Ian Watson, but that was essentially like taking acid and writing whatever you thought. Ian Watson was an established sci-fi author, but didn't quite know 40K, and he just had some information and just went nuts with it. And so some of the stuff he did established aspects of the lore that we still love. But it was absolutely mental. I'm still reading them now because I love them. They take me back to when I was a child reading 40k fiction, but the handling of Eisenhorn and the Inquisition throughout that whole thing, it makes you think, yeah, okay, this really fleshed out a believable world where people have to fight demons and, you know, all these other weird things that go on in the galaxy. And it led to, I think it led to the idea that we could have all this fiction. The Black Library that we know now has probably been built on the shoulders of that trilogy.
Fair enough.
You're still wrong.
I'm so wrong, am I? You're okay. Still,
because number one,
yep,
definitely Malkador the hero.
Malkador, of course. Yeah, Malkador. Yeah.
Now, but this guy, I'm not sure whether they're going to give him like a character series miniature at some point. I think I'd like to get one if they do. But when you're reading the Heresy, it all starts off and it's all talking about the Imperium and the Emperor and this, that, and the other. And as you go on, you keep getting this guy who shows up. And he's always kind of like the creepy uncle. He just kind of hovers in the shadows and he's sort of eyeballing your kids without you realizing it. And I think that's what is great about him, because the Imperium had two dads,
yeah,
you know. Yeah. So tell that to Arch Warhammer and all that lot. But, you know, it's that idea that the Imperium just off the Emperor would have been something completely different if you didn't have Malkador there with the checks and balances along the way. And he was always doing that shady shit in the background. You know, he was sending out death squads and hoarding knowledge and trying to figure out the best way to deal with stuff. But he was the counterbalance that the Imperium really needed. And you do get a sense that with losing him towards the end of the Heresy, as well as the Emperor, because the Emperor really just doesn't become a functional Emperor at that point, it'd be an interesting Imperium to see what would happen if Malkador had stayed alive. But yeah, I think he's so pivotal in the flavor of the 41st millennium. There's so many things that when you read the Heresy, you go, oh, he started the wheels turning on that, did he? Oh, and he started the wheels turning on that. You think, oh, God, all these things have ended up in strange places, but he's done a lot, you know? And like you say, it's this character that you mentioned him, people go, oh, yeah, Malkador, but they don't know much about him. No, he's at the center of everything.
I don't know much about Malkador. All I know was that, yeah, he was like the right hand of the Emperor. He was almost like a guide and obviously like a sage to the Emperor as well. And yeah, and he did almost like the underhand work of the Emperor, as it were. And was he an Alpha Psyker as well? Wasn't he like a really, really powerful Psyker as well?
Yeah, he was absolutely. I mean, the fact is, he was so powerful that he could sit on the Golden Throne in place of the Emperor for a short while.
Oh, okay. So that's quite chunky to be a chunky psyker to do that. Yeah,
I mean, that's the old lore. I don't know how true that is, because in the old lore of the Heresy and what happened in the big battle, that's how the Emperor goes off to duel Horus. Is because with what's going on Terra, they need someone to keep doing what they're doing on the Golden Throne, so he takes that seat so that the Emperor can go off and chin Horus.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. Oh, okay.
Basically everything.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I've heard a little thing as a Malkador. I'm probably the same as you say, like all the other noobs. But yeah, I think Malkador, yeah, he's such a cool, he is a cool character. Yeah. And I should really read more about Malkador, because he sounds like a 40k equivalent of Gandalf, basically, isn't he? So,
but yeah, like, I think that's the problem when with 40k, like, you can, someone could be into 40k and they've got all these characters and plot lines and stories, and you kind of, it feels like when, you know, there's that Eddie Izzard thing about how, you know, why learn Latin? Well, it gives you a good fundamental knowledge of all the other languages. It's like, well, why don't you just learn all the other languages? It'd be quicker. And that's the Heresy. You know, it gives you a massive fundamental understanding of the 40k setting, because you see 40k being built before your eyes, and you see every little thing they decide or don't decide, and things they balls up, and it's a lot of work, though. It's like a zillion books, so many audio things, and novellas, but it's all worth it, because it's such a rich tapestry by the end.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you can end up at a party and someone mistakenly asks you for some information on 40k, and you're like, ha ha, got you now, bitch. And that's 4 hours.
I know everything about this shit.
Yeah. I've been waiting my whole life for someone to ask me about 40k. I genuinely had a guy in work who was curious, and he asked me questions. And weirdly enough, he kept coming back and asking me more questions. So it wasn't that I was just chewing his ear off. But yeah, it's fun to realize how deep the lore is that you're into.
Yeah. Crazy. Well, yeah. I think we should wrap it up here now. We've gone over a little bit, but that's fine. But again, that's been awesome. Top five, yeah. I think all of them are worth mentioning. And I think, yeah, I like how we didn't have any of the same, though. I'm glad we didn't have any of the same.
Yeah, I was worried that that would happen, and like you'd have a big reveal of your number one was my number three, and it's like, oh shit, we already talked about him. But yeah, I think we dodged a bullet there.
Yeah, pretty good. But yeah. Again, Chris, thank you very much for being on the podcast and talking to me and rambling on and chatting along with me, 40K Podcast.
Always a pleasure, man.
No, yeah. And thank you again. And obviously, we might see Chris again in the future. So now we'll move on to the next part, which will be the quiz with the missus. So we'll test Amber on her 40K knowledge.
Ooh, so, good luck, Amber.
Thank you, Chris.
Take it easy.
See you now.
Right, so this week on the quiz, Amber doing some chapters or Space Marine chapters. As usual, there are four questions, and obviously she has to pick out of three answers which they are. And in order, obviously I'd give you the answers themselves, so you know what you're actually looking at. What you can do is you can Google these, and then you'll be able to find what we're actually looking for, because I'll show her a picture of what the chapter is, and obviously then she has to guess out of three answers. So in order 1 to 4, the first one is the Iron Snakes, the second is the Gorgons, the third is the Lamenters, the last one is the Storm Reapers. So if you want to Google those, you can obviously look what we are looking at, what we're actually looking at, and what she's talking about, as it were. So yeah, next part is the quiz. Right, everyone, it's time for the quiz with the misses, with our misses, our wonderful, our amazing, our beautiful, our wonderful, our adorable Amber. Hi, Amber.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Was that too much this time?
You've added adorable.
Yeah.
I think by like episode 100, you're going to have to like...
Have a separate part
just to introduce me.
Okay, I don't mind. Okay, so how are you this week?
I'm good.
You've been busy, haven't you? You've been real busy.
Yeah.
No, I was just saying that you've been really busy, so we couldn't do our bat rep, could we?
I know, I'm really sorry.
No, don't you apologize, but yeah, you have been really busy, and I've tried to explain that in the backstory for the orc side. So yeah, no worries at all. Chris has already said for you, good luck.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, already.
Why?
I just said it's just a good luck on the quiz, okay. That's all. But yeah, so this week, we're going to do about Space Marine chapters. You love Space Marines, don't you?
Yep.
And you love chapters.
I love a good chapter, me.
Yeah, but not a Space Marine chapter.
But not
though.
A Space Marine chapter.
Yeah. Right, well, there's only four, and okay. I'm sure you might know a few of these, because I'm sure I've talked about these before.
Okay.
So obviously, as usual, if Emily has not heard about our quiz yet, obviously I give three answers to whatever you're looking at. So obviously, normally it's a model, but this time it's just media, I guess. It's just pictures of the chapter. I'll give you a picture of the chapter pauldron, and then a picture of the actual color scheme of the actual marine itself, as it were. So it might give you an indication of what it might be.
Yep.
So yeah, so you've got two lifelines. You've got eliminate one, and you've got phone a mum as well.
Phone a mum.
I had a phone a mum for a while, haven't we? I remember last time you wrote phoned your mum. Like the squid,
I don't think I called your mum.
No.
I get too scared.
You phoned your mum for the squig, and it was a squigoth, wasn't it?
God.
And she proper got into that, didn't she?
Yeah, she did really get into it, to be fair.
Are we good to go?
Yeah.
All right, so question one. Have a look at that.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of that?
I see snakes.
Snake.
I mean, don't know what to say, really.
Yeah.
Do I have to describe it, or?
No, you don't have to. I mean, I already said, like, I'm previously, they can look at them up.
Okay.
That's a Space Marine. Right, so, is it A, the chapter core, what's it called? Is it A, the Blue Vipers? Is it B, the Iron Snake? Or is it C, the Sidewinders?
Sidewinders?
Yes.
Do they, like, go...
Well, no, a Sidewinder is a type of snake.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. Now I feel silly. Oh.
Should I say them again for you?
No.
No? All right.
I'm going to go with Sidewinders.
You are?
No, go for that. I'm going to go B, Iron Snakes.
Iron Snakes.
Yeah.
You already know, don't you?
No, I'm just guessing it's Iron Snakes.
Okay. So I give you a little countdown like you did last time. Did it? Did it? Yeah, it's right. Iron Snakes.
Yay.
Right. So I'll give you a little bit of background. So yeah, Iron Snakes, one of my favorite chapters.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah. They are a successor chapter of the Ultramarines, or as we call them, the Blue Smurfs, because they're all blue and, you know, they look like Smurfs because they're blue. But they come from a ice world called Ithaca. And part of their training or part of their induction into the chapter is they fight and kill giants, basically huge, you know, like a purple worm in D&D, like a huge worm like that.
Yeah.
Basically, have to fight humongous ones. They're called like sea serpents or something like that. They're huge, and they grow to big sizes underneath the water.
Yeah.
And they have to fight, they basically have to kill them with power spears. So basically just think of a spear.
Okay.
Yeah. As a novitiate. So not even a space marine yet. As a training space marine, you have to do that.
Makes them even cooler.
Does, doesn't it? Yeah. Right, so well done.
Yay.
Number next. Two. Oh. Have a look at that one.
Bit bright.
I know, yeah.
Bit too much green there for me.
Green.
Green.
So, yeah, what do you think of them?
Not my cup of tea.
No, you don't like green, do you?
Don't like green. Don't like bright green. And then to have a black helmet.
Yeah.
Bit crap, really.
Yeah.
Do you know, you've got some, like, skeleton Medusa vibe here.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll give you an indication what they might be. So, are they A, the Gorgons? Are they B, the Prophets of Death? Or are they C, the Sons of Medusa?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think I've heard of these.
Hmm.
You haven't got any?
No, I don't have any of these now. Quite a well-known chapter, though.
I've heard of Gorgons, though.
Hmm.
Prophets of Death. Maybe they're all one and I'm just here. Like I did to you last week.
Could be. You can go in towards more.
I don't know.
Could eliminate one.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, go on then.
You want to eliminate one?
Yeah.
I was going to actually roll a dice for this, but I'll just randomly do it. I'm going to take away Sons of Medusa.
Okay. See, I was stuck on that, but then I thought because I'd said it, obviously you knew I'd probably say that. Gorgons. I've heard of Gorgons, but I don't know if it's in Warhammer or something else.
I think Gorgons are in lots of things.
Yeah. Oh, no. Don't want to go to that one yet. got a Scalandon. Could be Death. It's got Prophets of Death.
Mm.
Oh, I'm going to kick myself if I don't pick Gorgons and it is Gorgons.
50-50.
Oh, I can't. I don't know.
You can phone a mom.
I can't. They haven't confirmed I can call them. And they're going to be as stuck as I am. Let's face it, I know more about Warhammer than either of our mums do.
Probably, yes.
They don't have to talk to you every day.
Nope. They have that. They have that. What's the right word to use?
They have
privilege. They have that privilege.
Oh, I really don't know.
Do you want to come back to it? I've never done that before, have we?
Oh, yeah.
Do you want to come back to it?
Yeah.
All right, let's go back to number two, shall we?
Okay.
So number three.
Okay.
Number three. Have a look at that.
Ugh, that's horrible. Who thinks? I know. Yellow, checkered.
Pauldrons.
Pauldrons with a heart on and a drip.
Yeah, bleeding heart. So, are they A, the Bleeding Hearts?
Oh, you're just being an old man.
Are they B, the Lamenters? Or are they C, the Sons of Sorrow?
I'm in the same position. I've heard of lament. I'm sure you said Lamenters are yellow.
Maybe.
I'm going to go with Lamenters.
You sure?
Yeah.
Not Bleeding Heart?
No.
Not Sons of Sorrow?
They might be, but I'm going to go with that one.
Oh, B again? All right, yeah. Should I count you down?
Yeah.
Da-da-da-da-da. Ding! They are Lamenters. So yes, they are the infamous or famous Lamenters, and they have a very lot of bad luck.
Oh, why? Is they yellow?
No.
People can see them coming from
probably a mile away. Yes, but the more bad looks come from when their chapter was made. So obviously it's I think it's called the Curse Founding.
Okay.
So, but they have a lot of bad luck, and to the point where they are almost like been wiped out, to the point of like their chapter's always been wiped out, and they are actually still on a penance crusade. So basically, when space marines do something wrong, they don't normally get like decimated. Well, sometimes they do, like the Celestial Alliance. but they normally, if they've done something wrong, they go on a penance crusade, and basically what they do is it's like this for the Lamenters, it's for 100 years. So what they do is they have to go on a crusade and basically kill everything, or go on a crusade and go around the stars and planets and stuff, but they can't have any help They can't have any help and they can't have any reinforcements, or they can't recruit and make new Space Marines. So they're kind of almost like, it's almost like a death sentence in itself.
It's a long-winded.
Yeah, basically, yeah. But no, they're okay now. They're getting reinforcements from Primaris, so they should be okay, the Mentors, now, actually. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Should just paint themselves a different colour. Really. I would.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right, so it's number four.
Hey, this is more hardcore, I'm a Space Marine, look at me type of situation.
Yeah, you think so, yeah?
Yeah, Lamentus look like clowns. Clowns of
Space Marines. Oh, that's nothing bad. You haven't seen some bad ones.
Okay.
Clowns.
Go on then.
Right, so is this one A, Dark Hunters, B, the Executioners, or C, the Storm Reapers?
Oh, we are the Dark Hunters. We are the Executioners. We are Storm Reapers sounds cooler.
Mm.
Dark Hunters, Executioners is giving themselves a pretty, like...
We're going to kill you, basically, vibe.
Executioner makes you sound a bit doomish. Mm. You know, a bit too far, a bit... You know, like trying to make them sound better than they actually are.
Oh, almost like, yeah, we are. Yeah, yeah, okay, right, okay, no, yeah. Trying to make themselves look better than they actually are.
Yeah. Let's go Storm Reapers.
You want to go Storm Reapers?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, not Dark Hunters.
Well, they're not very dark. They're white.
Yeah, but the axe is black there.
It's true, I could be absolutely wrong. I know nothing.
The Executioners? Big execution.
It's very good, and it's probably right, but I might go
Storm Reapers.
I want to go Storm Reapers.
Want to go Storm Reapers?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So count you down again.
Yeah.
Ding. Yeah, Storm Reapers. Yay. They are the Storm Reapers. They are a success chapter of the White Scars, so the biker ones.
Okay, so they
have the axe, so that would be equivalent to like the I can't remember the Primarch's name is now, but yeah, he would have an axe. But yeah, so they're very tough, these guys, and they're very sort of I don't know what the word is, but yeah, they're pretty hardy guys, these are. Mm-hmm. And they never back down from a fight, and they're quite hardy, these guys. Mm-hmm. And the Storm Reapers, it's an all Primaris Marine chapter, so it's actually quite a new chapter from the Ultimate Founding. So they are all Primaris in that chapter. Straight over. Oh, I forgot to mention that Lamentors are a successor chapter of the Blood Angels.
Ah, okay.
Yes. So that's why they've got the red heart with the drip, because they are a success chapter of the Blood Angels.
They're pretty cool. Would be an absolute pain to paint.
Well, yeah. Well, I'm painting my Redemptor. I'm using. He's going to be a Storm Reaper.
Oh.
So I'm going to do his pauldron with the axe. And
the pauldron's cool.
I thought so. I'm not going to do that.
Thing's cool. Why?
Because he's. Well, he can't have it. He can't have that on now because it's a signet for his chapter.
That's rubbish.
When he's part of the Death Watch now. So.
Now I'm back to this. Is more pressure.
Number two.
If I got them all wrong, I'd be like, oh, you know what, I don't care. But now
this is between getting 100 marks or getting 75% right. So, number two, it's either between Gorgons or the Prophets of Death. It's 50-50.
I was really hoping you'd mess up then and you'd be like, oh, it's between Gorgons and...
Something else.
There you go,
you dickhead. You're going to get it wrong.
Oh, Robin, why can't you just... Why can't you just let me have this one?
No! I eliminated one for you. You can ring, you still get your ring, your mum. Ring your mum.
No.
Yeah. So, what is it then? A or B?
No.
It's 50-50.
Oh, I can't. I want to forfeit.
You want to forfeit? You can't!
Oh! I really don't know.
What do you go with?
Neither. Like, I'm actually spit because I've heard of... I feel like Gorgon's, like, it's jumping out at me. I don't know if that's because of other things.
Mm, mm.
And then Prophet to Death. Like, we've got many bees here as well, can I just say?
Bees?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Iron Snakes, bee. Prophets of Death, bee. Lamenters, bee. It's a lot of bees. I haven't heard you say Prophets of Death, though.
Have you? Or haven't you?
No, I don't think you have.
Have you heard me say Gorgons?
I think so.
Have you?
Oh, Robin!
Go on, just go for it. A or B?
B.
B?
Yeah.
You sure?
No.
You change your answer?
I don't know. Why can't you, like, give me a look that tells me one or the other?
Because that'll be favouritism.
But I want to get them all right.
You go B, Prophet of Death. You don't know? One last guess.
Yeah.
Okay, B. Da-da-da-da-da. It was the Gorgons.
I hate you.
It was the Gorgons. They are quite a well-known chap, and they are combat. Do you know what? I can't remember what success chap they're from, actually. I think they're from the Iron Hands, actually. And yeah, they're pretty gnarly characters, actually. What? Well done. You got 3 out of 4.
Yeah, but it's not the same as 4 out of 4. I'm so close.
You were so close, weren't you? You're so close.
Why didn't you, like, nudged me or something?
Because that's not the point of the quiz.
But then I'd look smart.
But you got 3 out of 4. Yeah, that's pretty good going.
Let's face it. Like, 80% of what you paint are Space Marines.
True. Good point. Yeah, but I paint... Yeah, I suppose that's true, isn't it? Oh, well.
Aw, I'm gutted.
Oh, don't be gutted. You did really well.
But you know what? That 25% is towards my hatred of space.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So I just, you know, if I got it all right, it'd look like I like them.
Oh,
so
okay, I see.
Get it slightly wrong.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, right, yeah. Well, thank you very much for doing that again, as usual, on the quiz.
You're welcome.
Yeah, episode 21 done.
Ting.
Ting. Yeah. So as usual, I thank Amber for being on the podcast as usual, and obviously taking part in the quiz as usual, because I know how much you love being on the quiz and love participating in Space Marines.
I don't know why you say that. I've never said I really don't like doing this, or I've never said, oh, do we have to do it? Have I?
No. Well, anyway, yeah. But anyway, thank you for being on the episode.
You're very welcome.
And obviously, as usual, if anyone wants to get in touch about anything to do with the podcast, or if you wanted to, I don't know, ask me a question or anything, so you can do on me, myself, at 40k or one word at gmail.com, or go on my Twitter at @CDRRobinArcher, and obviously give me a tweet if you want to.
Tweet.
And also, I realized actually in Anchor they have their own message service as well, so you can actually message me on the Anchor as well.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah.
There's many ways to harass you with questions.
Yes, harass me with questions. But thank you very much. And yeah, this is episode 21, done and dusted.
Yay.
Says goodbye from me.
Bye.
It's goodbye from you.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
Bye.